ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वेलकम टू ऑल द डिवोटीज टू भगवद गीता क्लास। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 14th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 27। काइंडली ओपन इन योर भगवद गीतास। लास्ट श्लोक प्लीज चैंट आफ्टर मी। चैप्टर 14, द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर, टेक्स्ट नंबर 27। ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्यैकान्तिकस्य च। ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्यैकान्तिकस्य च। प्लीज चैंट। ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्य कांतिकस्य च। ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्य कांतिकस्य च। एनीबडी एल्स? ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्यैकान्तिकस्य च। माताजी। ब्रह्मणो हि प्रतिष्ठाहम् अमृतस्याव्ययस्य च शाश्वतस्य च धर्मस्य सुखस्य एकांतिकस्य च। वर्ड मीनिंग्स। ब्रह्मणः ऑफ द इम्पर्सनल ब्रह्मज्योति, ही सर्टेनली, प्रतिष्ठा द रेस्ट, अहम आई एम, अमृतस्य ऑफ द इमॉर्टल, अव्ययस्य ऑफ द इम्पेरिशेबल, च also shashvatasya of the eternal, cha and dharmasya of the constitutional position, sukhasya of happiness, aikantikasya ultimate, cha also. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Purport. The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of transcendental realization. Paramatma, the super soul, is the middle, the second stage in transcendental realization, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. It is explained in the 7th chapter that material nature is the manifestation of the inferior energy of the Supreme Lord. Somebody's phone is ringing, it can be made silent. Yes. The Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with fragment of the superior nature, and that is the spiritual touch in the material nature. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. I would stop here and explain this paragraph and then go forward. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shulakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagandra Gunathanatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patan Sahagandra Radita Sri Vishakavitamsya. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। दिस हैज़ मैनी थिंग्स टू बी डिस्कस, सो वी विल डिस्कस एज वी रीड ऑन। सो इन द फर्स्ट सेक्शन व्हाट वी आर रीडिंग नाउ, दिस अ डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ थ्री लेवल्स ऑफ रियलाइजेशन व्हिच इज कॉल्ड ब्रह्मन, परमात्मा एंड भगवान। Srila Prabhupada explains in 2.2 these three conceptions through analogies, and we'll try to discuss those analogies. First analogy is the analogy of sun, which you all know. We have sunlight, we have sun disk, and the sun god which is there within. So a person who is dealing with sunlight, a person who knows the sun disk, and the person who is in intimate relationship with the sun god are both the student of the same subject. But we must understand that there is difference in realization of what they are studying. Now another example is of a mountain, which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives. When you see a mountain from a distance, you will see a big block, green or brownish block with some ice cap. When you get a little closer, then you will see trees. That is compared to Paramatma realization. And when you go further, you will see the birds chirping, you will see the animals there. So that is further realization of the people and activity within the mountain. Personal realization. So from a distance it is impersonal, it becomes more personal, more detailed as you go further, and it becomes more detailed and more personal as we approach the mountain. Another example which is given by devotees is the example of a train observed in the night. When you wait for a train, you see in the beginning there is only a blinding light which doesn't allow you to see anything else, especially in the night. As the train comes closer, you see the train itself, the bogies, and when the train halts and you approach inside, then you see there are people sitting inside. There is a driver which is actually driving the train. Similarly, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Another example is of a big man's house. If you go to a big man's house, he may allow you to approach the boundary. You can see the house, then you don't see any activity, any person inside. When you go inside the garden, you are allowed to go inside the garden, then you have further realization of that person's opulences. And if you go inside and meet the person, when you have personal realization of that person's opulences and personal features. Now, what are the differences between Bhagwan, Paramatma and Bhagwan realizations? In Brahman, Bhagwan, Paramatma and Brahman realization. Yes, so Brahman means the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Lord, as explained in Brahma Samhita. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti, koti shashvesh vasudhadi vibhuti binnam, tad brahma nishkalam anantamashesh bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Explained in Brahma Samhita, yasya prabha. Prabha we understand is effulgence. So Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, who is in his abode Golok Vrindavan. I was hearing a lecture today, and the devotee was explaining that if you just see the sun, a person will believe in God. Like a so powerful bulb, who has created that? And since millions of years it has been giving light, and since and for millions of years it will be giving light. Ashesha Teja. And that Tej is Krishna's Tej, we know from Bhagavad Gita. So, Brahman effulgence is like that. And the interesting thing is, Srila Rupa Goswami says in this context, what is the value of Brahman being pervading the whole of this existence? What is the value of Brahman being all pervasive? Not even a leaf, not even a leaf of the tree of the material existence of the jiva, that means the tree of birth and death, not even a tree was, not even a leaf from this tree was broken by this all-pervading Brahman. What is the value? But simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, the root of this tree is shaken. It's mentioned actually, once somebody, a jiva chants Krishna, his material existence has been terminated. Now he's on his path back home, back to Godhead. Explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even once somebody chants Hari, then he has turned now from being entrapped in material cycle, and he's turned, no, not turned, he says that he has tied his belt to go back to Godhead. Actually, he is a liberated soul now, and it's just a matter of further sadhana to be done to attain Krishna's lotus feet. That's very interesting. So whom to meditate on? Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan? And even Paramatma is there in the heart. It's definitely there. But as a neutral person, Upadrashta Anumanta. You want to do sin, you continue to do sin. You want to do pious activity, okay, you do pious activity. But Krishna as Bhagavan, in his Bhagavan feature, he reveals his sweetness within the heart of his devotee when a devotee is pure in his consciousness. This is very important to be understood. Another feature regarding the Paramatma explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that when there is a festival, as in Hindi we call it a Mela. So Mela, how do you say Mela in English? Fair, yeah, that's the word. So when the fair is there, you understand that fair is not always there. So to conduct the, or to manage the fair nicely, an officer is appointed by the government. Similarly, Paramatma feature is Krishna himself. But he is doing a particular activity, or in a limited zone he is doing that activity of Upadrashta and Anumanta. But he's not doing pastimes with his pastimes with people around here as Paramatma. But definitely as Bhagavan, he's manifesting all his leelas within the heart of his devotee. Santa Sadev Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Those who are pure devotees, they can see the pastimes of Krishna within their own heart. That means in them, it is not Paramatma but Govinda himself, Bhagavan himself who manifests himself. There's a difference. Not as a managing director, CEO of material world. Not like that. Another thing which Prabhupada explained here is the Lord impregnates the inferior material nature with a fragment of spiritual nature, and that is a spiritual touch in the material nature. That's very interesting. Every living entity is very special. Do you think you are special? Now why you are special? Because you have said this. Even if you have, out of humility, you have said no, then also you would have been special. You understand my point? Like, if I tell to this, ask this chair, oh sorry, table, are you special? Are you special? It will not react. There is no spiritual touch in this table. It is not conscious. So, some devotees are saying like this, some devotees may be saying like this, but this means you are conscious. Vyashishika Prabhu was saying this point that every living entity should be understood as very special and should be treated as very special. because it's completely different from all the gross manifestation which we see in this world. Just imagine the content of matter in this room. Well, don't put the argument that it is spiritual world and it is Vrindavan. That's all right, but that's not, we don't appreciate that right now. We see the building blocks and all those things, and see the world around us. Everything is matter, 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 which is non-conscious. But the living entity within the matter is so special. It's so special that when the living entity leaves the body is no longer considered important. Zero value. So that special is the living entity. And interesting thing about this living entity or us is that we are very minute, but our consciousness can influence the supreme consciousness, Krishna. You may say, how? What is the proof? Sri Krishna Akarshani. If the living entity is fully manifested with his quality of devotional service, the devotional service attracts Krishna, who is supreme consciousness, who is Swarat. That's something to be very much thought about. That is incomprehensible to us right now. I'm an insignificant living entity. How can Krishna be conquered by my love? But that we will go further in the purport, and it's mentioned, Raso Vaisa, Krishna wants that. Krishna is missing each one of us. And when we make some mistake of serving Maya, Krishna is disappointed. Oh, why he is serving Maya? Why is trying to be so foolish? Doesn't mean he rejects us, but he, as a loving father, he says, why this child is not behaving like that? Why is not turning towards me? So, let's go ahead. So, how the living entity progresses from being in ignorance to Brahman platform, Prabhupada explains in the next section. Please look into Bhagavad Gita. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, he elevates himself from the position of material existence and gradually rises up to the Brahman conception of the Supreme. Very important, when will we begin our cultivation of spiritual knowledge? Only when we somehow or other hear about it. Just like all of you can remember, when we have not heard that we are not the bodies, before that we have never thought that we are not the bodies. Have you ever thought? Just think about it. When the first time a devotee has told us we are not the bodies, before that we have never thought that we are not the bodies. So the cultivation of spiritual knowledge has started in our life when a devotee has first, whenever, whichever time, has first come and met and told us, my dear Mr. and whatever you can, however he has addressed us, student or whatever, that you are not the body. Do you know this? You are not this lump of flesh. This is called the moment of truth in our sojourn in this material world. Dying, taking birth, dying, taking birth, again dying and taking birth. And somehow there we meet a devotee and he explains to us, you are not the body. Doesn't matter whether he has that realization or not, but that knowledge itself is so pure. It's kind of an awakening, it's kind of a shock. A person who is mentally deranged, he is given shock, you know, shock treatment in his brain. You must have seen in the movies. That's like a shock for the conditioned soul to understand that. I was giving a presentation to young students in Hodal. So we were telling them, are you this body? Who are you? So anyhow, they heard it. I don't know how they liked it, but later on I got a feedback that the boys were asking each other, who are you? Do you know who are you? So that's quite interesting, because even then, the teachers have never thought that we are not the bodies. And it's very dangerous to think that we are the bodies, because body has all kind of obnoxious desires. And if you think that we are the body, definitely we will commit sinful activities. Nunam pramattaha kurute vikarma. So this cultivation begins when we somehow or other come in contact with devotees and we hear somehow or other. So same opportunity should be extended to other people who have not got this opportunity yet. At least once in their life they should hear this. I don't know whether you are really feeling what I am trying to say. Just imagine, can you imagine a sadhu coming to your house and telling you are not the body? the way ISKCON devotees do program in people's house. Is it? Can you even think of that? Leave the point of aspiring to hear for all these things. Even some normally a karmakandiya brahmana will come and tell you this is your future and this is how all these things can happen and unfold according to your chart. But they will never tell you that you are the body. Rather, sometimes what happens is these brahmanas will discourage you to do bhakti. One devotee was conducting a program in one person's house, and that young means 34, 35 years, and he wanted to chant Hare Krishna, and then one karmakandiya brahmana says, this is not your age to chant Hare Krishna. Something very surprising. So that is the responsibility of devotees. After getting this knowledge, this knowledge must be disseminated. And we don't know how much a person can actually take up this process and get changed. Like the way we were not knowing how much we will be transformed by this knowledge. Externally and to a quite degree internally also. So cultivation of knowledge begins when we first time hear about it. This attainment of the Brahman conception of life is the first stage in self-realization. At this stage, the Brahman realized person is transcendental to the material position, but is not actually perfect in Brahman realization. If he wants, he can continue to stay in the Brahman position and then gradually rise to the Paramatma realization and then to the realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of this in Vedic literature. The four Kumaras were situated first in the impersonal Brahman conception of truth, but then they gradually rose to the platform of devotional service. Now, something which has to be understood that a Brahmavadi is not a Mayavadi. Sometimes we may feel like that and offend a Brahmavadi. This is wrong. Brahmavadi is a person who knows about Brahman. He doesn't know about Krishna, he doesn't know about Paramatma, but he doesn't comment wrongly on these subject matters. But a Mayavadi may know something about spirit soul, but definitely doesn't know about Paramatma and Krishna, and they will give all kind of wrong comments about Krishna. Like Krishna is a manifestation of mode of goodness of the impersonal Brahman. This is wrong. Nowhere is mentioned in the Shastra. So it's their own concoction which they want to impose on Krishna. And that's called an offense. Something which is transcendental, we see as mundane. And something which is mundane, we see as transcendental. That is how it actually happens. So that is why they are called Mayavadi. And a person who is in Maya is not exactly a Mayavadi. A person who is a sense gratifier is not a Mayavadi. But a Mayavadi also, he is also influenced by Maya. But he may be a very great person who is very austere and all those things. But he is influenced by Maya in terms of how he sees Krishna, and specifically seeing Krishna as a manifestation of Maya, and is completely different to what Krishna speaks here. He says that he is the source of Brahman, but how does Krishna becomes Maya? There is no evidence, so this is their own concoction. Okay, so the Kumaras were not Mayavadis, they were Brahmavadis. That has to be understood. But how they became attracted to Krishna? I asked to one devotee, Bhima Prabhu, he was giving class. So how they became attracted to Krishna? How did they come to know? Then Bhima Prabhu said, I don't know. Then one devotee said, Brahmaji told. So he said that, yes, they heard from their daddy. They heard from their father, then they could understand. So this is, again, their cultivation of knowledge was to a certain level. And then it went further when they heard about Lord Vishnu. Same thing. We are in material consciousness, okay, Brahman consciousness, we hear. And then further Paramatma and then Bhagwan. Okay, hearing is the basis. One who cannot elevate himself beyond the impersonal conception of Brahman runs the risk of falling down. We will discuss this matter. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that although a person may rise to the stage of impersonal Brahman, without going further with no information of the Supreme Person, his intelligence is not perfectly clear. Therefore, in spite of being raised to the Brahman platform, there is a chance of falling down if one is not engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic literature, in the language, it is also said, Raso vai saha rasam hi evayam labdhavanandi bhavati. When one understands the personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. The Supreme Lord is full in six opulences, and when a devotee approaches him, there is an exchange of these six opulences. The servant of the king enjoys on an almost equal level with the king. And so eternal happiness, imperishable happiness and eternal life accompany devotional service. Therefore, realization of Brahman or eternity or imperishability is included in devotional service. This is already possessed by a person who is engaged in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada quotes shloka, Aruhya krachena param padam tataha patanti nadrita yushmat padangreha. The living entity experiences happiness by relationships, either material or spiritual. So that's what it is mentioned, that a person who neglects Krishna's lotus feet, neglects to serve Krishna, he falls down. Because there is a very intense high taste in serving Krishna through the medium of devotional service, which is denied in the Brahman conception. Brahman conception is like being free from miseries, but still there is no positive bliss. It is explained by the acharyas after their experience. That's pretty interesting. After the experience, the acharyas explained that the Brahman happiness is compared to a glass of water, and the happiness of Krishna consciousness is like an ocean. But why am I not experiencing that ocean? That also is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, that a person who has even a little tinge of bhukti and mukti desire for material sense gratification and desire for liberation, those people cannot experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. It's a little heavy point, but we can check in our heart. If these two desires are there, desire for liberation means desires to escape suffering. I am not at that level, but I will just appreciate what that Vasudev Brahmana was in South India. His body was suffering from leprosy, and he had that attitude of thinking anyhow this body is useless, so let it be used by the worms which are there on my body. So he had no desire to escape suffering. But in that consciousness also, because of that consciousness, he was relishing Krishna consciousness like anything. It's completely incomprehensible to us. Normally even a small ant will come on our body and we want to throw it off. Even sometimes it dies. So that is very difficult for us to conceive right now. But that is the state, amazing state of Krishna consciousness. Narayana parha sarve na kutaschana bhibhyati swarga apavarga narkeshu apitulyartha darshina. When a person is situated in Krishna consciousness, then he considers everything in this material world as equal. We don't see that right now. So we have to persevere in this path, and by the process of Krishna consciousness only, this bhukti mukti desire will go away, and then we can actually experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. Now actually, when I am saying it means, I mean to say that it doesn't mean that we don't experience any happiness in Krishna consciousness. But the experience which is explained by the acharyas, that is experienced or felt only when we have our heart completely cleansed by the process of bhakti. Prabhupada gives an example in this regard, that if you sit in a room and you are reading, how long you can read? Okay, you may not have any disease, but how long you can read? You want to talk with people, naturally. We have to have relationships. So that's a sutra how we can survive in Krishna consciousness. Did you get the sutra? Could you solve the mystery of how we can survive in Krishna consciousness? By having good relationship with devotees. if I don't like people who are around me who are devotees, I would definitely like to have those people who are around me and who may not be devotees. And that's very dangerous. Because all our spiritual credits have come to us through devotee association, and they will be discredited from our account. In a sense, at least we get covered up in this world, in this life, by bad association. That's very dangerous for us. So the cause of fall down, Prabhupada will explain in the next lines. But he explains one more interesting thing. Why the Mayavadis don't want to accept eternal servitude to Krishna? Because they have a bad experience of service in this world. The servant is exploited, and the master wants to give less and less salary and want to get more and more work. But in the spiritual world, the servant is enjoying at an equal level with Krishna. And we have the experience here also. Krishna Balaramji gets very nice bhoga. And then who gets the prasadam? The devotees, yes. It's not that devotees don't get the rasgulla which Krishna Balaram has enjoyed. Even here Krishna enjoys. You know, we chant, Krishna is in the altar, yes, nicely enjoying, and we are enjoying downstairs, chanting his holy names, doing the kirtan. He has the palace, and we also enjoy the palace with him, in relationship of service with him. So here in this world, another example is given. Suppose a chauffeur, you understand, is a driver of a Mercedes car. So the driver is told by the Malik, by the owner, please switch on the air conditioner, I am feeling hot. Yes sir. Who gets the first blow of cold air? The driver gets it, yes. But if he says that, oh, this car belongs to me, then he will not get any of that cold air. Or whatever hot air, as per the season. That is the only thing. It's just a matter of acceptance of our servitude to Krishna. That is the point. Okay, we'll see the last paragraph. The living entity, although Brahman by nature, has the desire to lord it over the material world, and due to this he falls down. In his constitutional position, a living entity is above the three modes of material nature, but association with material nature entangles him in the different modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. Due to the association of these three modes, his desire to dominate the material world is there. By engagement in devotional service, okay, let's first analyze the cause of fall down. As we understand, it's an infection. Just like every day we are healthy normally, and suddenly we get an infection. And we get an infection of, let's say, fever or cold or flu or anything like that. So being healthy is our normal condition. Being diseased is not a normal condition. So when we are diseased, we have to take the medicine in a way which is prescribed by the medical practitioner, and then we will get cured. Similarly, we are all infected, at least I can talk about myself, by modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion and ignorance. So what is the antidote for this? Antidote is devotional service, as explained by Lord in text number 26. As mentioned, Mam Chayo Vyabhicharina. Avyabhichari Bhakti Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains is a bhakti which is done regularly. That not something which you do today and then tomorrow and whenever your mind wants, not like that. This regular bhakti, regularly doing bhakti, as Srila Prabhupada explains, regular attendance in the Bhagavatam classes, in the classes on Srimad Bhagavatam, destroys this tamagun and rajagun within our heart. So regularity means mode of goodness. And from there, we can transcend it. So avyabhichari bhakti means not that today I am a devotee of Krishna, tomorrow a devotee of Lord Shiva, and then day after tomorrow of Ganesh, and then like that. Avyabhichari means day after day, I am serving Krishna without fail. So that kind of bhakti will help us to become free from the infection of modes of material nature, no matter how much we are infected previously. So the reason for our fall down is our desire to dominate this this material nature. Now, this is called as Hridaya Daurbalyam. Suppose you have liver Daurbalyam. You have understood this point? Many people have liver Daurbalyam, weakness of liver. So they take a tonic, and that tonic has a, it will boost your liver. Similarly, we have Hridaya Daurbalyam, and that Daurbalyam means I want to enjoy this material world, nasty material world. Even if I don't want to, this Hridaya Daurbalyam pushes me to enjoy this material world. Janiya Shuniya Vishikhaino. I was knowing it, I've heard it, and still I enjoy material sense gratification. So what is the solution? The tonic of Hare Krishna Mantra, the tonic of Srimad Bhagavatam, the tonic of association of Vaishnavas and Srimad Bhagavat Prasadam. Basically the process of bhakti by which our heart becomes rejuvenated. The heart is toned up, so to speak. The heart is toned up not to desire this lower taste, but to desire the taste of Krishna consciousness. So we have to tone up our heart and give up these desires, which are difficult to get. Give up is called ajaram pasham. Ajaram means, jara means old age. Ajara means which doesn't die with old age. So this pasham, this false ego, these material desires, they will not die simply because of old age. We have been old in the previous life, isn't it? We were not dying every time as we were young, in every lifetime. So we have experienced old age, but we have not experienced the old age of our material desires. Because the subtle body never becomes old. So it has to be cut, essentially. It has to be cut. Example is mentioned. During the time of Alexander, there was a knot, a famous knot, somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere in Egypt or somewhere. I don't really exactly know the exact place, but I heard this story from one Sachinandan Maharaj, I believe. I may be wrong in this matter. But the moral of the story has to be taken. So very strong knot from leather belts was made. And there was a prophecy that anybody who is able to open this knot will be able to conquer the whole world. So many kings came and they could not open. And Alexander heard of it. He came there and he was very intelligent. He didn't try to open it. With his sword he cut the knot. So similarly, it's called that Vidyate Hridaya Granthi Chidyanti Sarva Sanshaya. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't open the knot basically. He just cuts the knot of false ego. So we have to again and again absorb our consciousness in hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna as attentively as possible. Because when we chant Hare Krishna and we hear Hare Krishna, always meditate that this Nama Mrit, this tonic of Nam goes through our ears and goes into our heart and tonify our heart. You understand this word, tonify? Remove all these weaknesses of the heart. And therefore, you see in our own life, whatever things we could not think of giving up, we did not even desire to give up, we have given up to quite an extent. Okay. So now here Prabhupada will talk about how we can get free. By engagement in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, he is immediately situated in the transcendental position and his unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. Therefore, the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, remembering, the prescribed 9 methods of realizing devotional service should be practiced in the association of devotees. Why? Because in 4th canto, Srila Prabhupada explains, without the association of devotees, all our activities don't become distinct from material activities. And really, hearing and chanting can be nicely practiced only in the association of devotees. Because they want to glorify Krishna, I want to glorify Krishna. So their sankalpa comes together and then the whole atmosphere is surcharged with devotion. Otherwise, you have an experience if you give classes. Sometimes if you give class to people who are paid to attend your class, then you can see, you know, sometimes some place, some employees are there, they have to hear the class and that's why they are come to class. So they have no faith on what you are speaking. And then you are also switched off within your heart to speak anything. Just like suppose let's see how many devotees are there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, let's say. So if there are 18 cameras here, so would I be inspired to give class? Are you sure? No. Not a Bhagavad Gita class. If there are 18 cameras, that won't come out. Even I will give class, but that, you understand my point? It is drawn from the heart if the hearer is utsuka, eager to hear about Krishna. And Prabhupada says that talks about Krishna are pleasing only in the association of devotees because they actually relish Krishna talks. If you have this conception, this Krishna talk is only sadhan, anyhow, after I become liberated, I will not hear Krishna katha. That is not a real devotee. So such kind of association will not bring out the result. And that's what Prabhupada says, full Krishna consciousness, that means I am a servant of Krishna eternally. Not half Krishna consciousness, that means I am a servant of Krishna till the time I am liberated and after that I will become Krishna. This is half Krishna consciousness or zero Krishna consciousness or whatever. But full Krishna consciousness means I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I want to be engaged eternally in His service. Okay, gradually, that is also an interesting point, gradually, that's why it's called dhairya. Like we have a very great disease, or to say chronic disease, then you have a strong medicine. But still it takes some time to get okay. One devotee asked me, Prabhuji, how to conquer lust? Is Harinam or lust is more powerful than Harinam? No, it's not like that. But it takes some time to get free from those things. Gradually, by such association, by the influence of the spiritual master, one's material desire to dominate is removed and one becomes firmly situated in the Lord's transcendental service. This point is very important and I will try to speak something on this matter. In bhakti, when we want to progress, there are two factors, which is our own effort, which is very important, but most important is the pleasure of the spiritual master. And his desire that I should become Krishna conscious. Just like Narad Muni, when he initiated Dhruva Maharaj, he was desiring that Dhruva Maharaj should become a pure devotee. When Narad Muni met Brigari, naturally thought this fellow should become a devotee. When Narad Muni met Dasyu Ratnakar, Valmiki's ex-name, so he was desiring this fellow should become a devotee. How nice if he becomes a devotee. Lakkahira, you know Lakkahira? The prostitute who wanted to make Haridas Thakur fall down, Haridas Thakur was thinking, oh, she should become a devotee. I should stay here to deliver her. Now, that is called causeless mercy. You can't explain why Haridas Thakur was thinking like this. Well, you can explain in the sense a devotee, a Vaishnava always thinks like that. But that was the very cause of deliverance of Lakkahira, the Suratnakar, or you can say Mrigari, or Dhruva Maharaj, or even Prahlad Maharaj. When he was within the womb of his mother, Narad Muni was giving instruction, not exactly to mother, yes, mother was hearing, but intending so that the child within the womb will hear and he'll become a devotee. So this is how important to please the spiritual master. And yasya deve parabhaktir yatha deve tatha guru, that by our activities when we are rendering services, if we can be in this consciousness that this will please my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, then that's very good consciousness. And Lord Krishna himself explains that when I am in everybody's heart, but when I see that a person executing the order of a spiritual master, I become very pleased within his heart. So the way to please Krishna is by following the vani of our spiritual master who has given us the instructions. Okay, so in this way, by his pleasure, we make more advancement than simply by our effort to make advancement. So our efforts to make advancement should be to please the spiritual master, and that way we make very rapid advancement. This method is prescribed from the 22nd to the last verse of this chapter. Devotional service to the Lord is very simple. One should always engage in the service of the Lord, should eat the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the deity, smell This is easy, isn't it? The second line is easy, provided you have good digestion. Sometimes that also is difficult. Smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. You know that what happens with this? Explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a person who smells the incense of flowers offered to the Lord, his impersonal conception within his heart are changed. He becomes a devotee. As it happened in the case of the four Kumaras, they smelled the tulsi offered to Krishna and they became devotees from Brahmavadis. Quite mystical. See the places where the Lord had his transcendental pastimes, read of the different activities of the Lord, his reciprocation of love with his devotees. What happens when we read such things? I also want to have a relationship with the Lord. That desire come within our heart. He's such a nice person. I would like to have friendship with him. I would like to be his servant. That's what happens when we hear the pastimes of Krishna. Chant always the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and observe the fasting days commemorating the appearances and disappearances of the Lord and his devotees. By following such a process, one becomes completely detached from all material activities. One who can thus situate himself in the Brahma Jyoti or the different varieties of the Brahman conception is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality. Now this is very important. Last section. Bhakti is very simple, that we engage our senses in Krishna's service. And in this way, in a very mystical way, we are free from the service of the modes of material nature. That is very inconceivable. There were a devotee chanting Hare Krishna, dancing in Kirtan, taking prasadam, hearing Harikatha, speaking Harikatha. In all these activities, while doing all these activities, he doesn't accrue any karma, which is a very distinct feature of actions performed in the modes of material nature, that they have a karma accompanied to that. And that's why bhakti is simple, sublime and difficult, because people don't understand the transcendental nature of bhakti. So why it may become difficult? Because we may have doubts. Will it really work? Although we have seen that it has worked so much, my consciousness has changed so much of what I was thinking. Like the devotee who was asking me how to conquer lust, he is only a new devotee, and he said, did you ever think about it before becoming a devotee that you should deal with lust, or were you enjoying lust? And the answer is yes, I was enjoying lust. I was not thinking that lust was a problem. That means there is a transformation, there is a shift of consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna. That's why you are thinking now it's a problem. Isn't it? Isn't it advancement? So, how to relieve these doubts? By hearing. Again and again hearing and practicing the process of bhakti properly. Then we will feel the result in our heart and our faith becomes reinforced, and then we will continue the process of bhakti. And in this way we will progress in the path of bhakti and ultimately attain Krishna's lotus feet. Hare Krishna. 5 minutes are there. If any questions are there, I will take. Yes, you can use the mic. No problem, you can ask. Yes. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shuchati Na Kangshati. Right now we are Shuchati Kangshati. We are hankering and lamenting. So any person who has attained Brahma Bhuta platform, he doesn't hanker for material things, and neither he laments for what he has lost in this material world. So called lost.
Is there any fourth down level?
No, this is the only level.
So we are not even up to that level.
Yes.
The question is that how to please the spiritual master? As you said, the Narad Muni was
It's very simple. Anybody you want to please, you serve them. You serve them, they serve their instructions.
Actually, this process happened at the stage of initiation when the spiritual master is
initiating
the disciple or something else.
No, when we are initiated, then we are formally accepting the spiritual master. Before that, there were siksha gurus, there were path pradarshak gurus who wanted us to chant Hare Krishna. Then we followed them, so we are pleasing them also. and we are getting their mercy by pleasing them. But eventually then we take our initiating spiritual master and then we follow his instructions, and apart from that we also follow the instruction of the Siksha Gurus, whose instruction should not be different from the instruction of Diksha Guru. So like practically in ISKCON we serve our authorities. I am not serving my spiritual master in the sense of serving my spiritual master directly, but I am serving him directly also in the sense of serving ISKCON and serving the authorities of ISKCON, like that, or serving under the authorities of ISKCON. It's interesting, Prabhupada says, I am ISKCON. So if a person is serving ISKCON, is serving Srila Prabhupada. In ISKCON disciple course, they have made a very interesting question. He said, how will you serve Srila Prabhupada? By distributing books, by preaching, by distributing prasadam, by rendering service to deities. And then say, how will you serve ISKCON? By distributing books, by distributing prasadam, by serving the deities. Serving ISKCON and serving spiritual master and serving Srila Prabhupada is same. You don't have to render something separate in that sense. Although, when we get an opportunity to render some Vapu service, that is our great fortune that we should do. But apart from that, Vani Seva is always on our head basically. Yes? Okay.
Prabhu, sometimes some of the devotees, senior devotees, they think the other devotees to be insignificant. They don't like to communicate with him or don't want to see them. Okay, then some other devotees, they can take care of him. If somebody comes to me or somebody, I try to neglect and say that I avoid the person. And sometimes it happens like that. Some of the senior devotees, they don't want to react with the devotee who has come for an inquiry or initiative test or something. So we neglect this one. This neglection shouldn't be there.
Well, you have to see that that senior devotee may be sometime very busy. Suppose somebody says, who am I? And that question can be answered by any devotee practically in ISKCON. Why I am suffering? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? Even a new bhakta can give that answer. So somebody comes new, then the new devotees also have to be engaged. And Prabhupada did that also. I read that quotation. Prabhupada said that if they are masses, you should speak. And if they are classes, I'll speak. So there is a, and Prabhupada also spoke to the lowest people also, depending on time, place, circumstance. Maybe the devotee has to go to attend a meeting, so he can't give the answer. Then he said, okay, Prabhu, you give the answer. So he, and still if he is not satisfied, then he can meet that pure devotee, I mean senior devotee. We cannot always blame a person. A senior devotee is not Krishna where he can expand himself, okay, he can talk to you also, he can be in his meeting also. Sometimes it can be practical reasons. Like that.
It's okay, but sometimes he always thinks that I am something
superior. No, I have my different experience. Janani Nivas Prabhu gave a very nice class here, and I have heard from my Guru Maharaj that he has a lot of taste for chanting. So naturally, I wanted to ask him. I heard my Guru Maharaj lecture separately, a recording, and he was saying, here we have Janani Nivas Prabhu who has so much taste for chanting. So definitely wanted to know the secret here in Vrindavan. So after the class, the kirtan was going on, and I was asking Prabhuji, please tell me the secrets of chanting. And he was actually giving me a lot of time. And he told me 3 points, and I forgot all the 3 points, unfortunately. And I two or three times I tried to understand. I could not understand what he was saying. Something he said that you should understand Krishna is non-different from his holy name, this one point. And the rest 2 points I forgot like Abhimanyu. So I didn't understand, but he was giving me time. So I have seen in my own life so many devotees, so many senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, they always give time. I mean, but depend whether they have time or not. So you can't categorize one devotee's behavior with all the senior devotees. That is not appropriate to say like that. Rather, we have so much help and support from devotees. So it's, I would prefer to disagree on this point. Sometimes some devotee may be busy like that.
One more question. Just like you are very nice speakers, we like to speak about Krishna, about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But when time comes to hearing, that time we are busy, we have so many other activities, we try to avoid hearing. We just like to see that other people hear me, but for me, I have so many other engagement, I cannot hear this.
I will again disagree. We want to hear from those whom we have faith. Suppose I know that this devotee knows better than me, I would like to hear from you. But if I know he knows less than me, then I would not like to hear from him. That is natural for everybody, isn't it? So I will disagree, because I like to hear from those devotees who I know they know much better than me. But if suppose a new devotee is there, then naturally I will be disinclined to hear from him, which is not good, because it is not good, but I am accepting my fault. But isn't it natural, somebody who knows better than you, you like to hear from them, who has deeper realizations, you would prefer to hear from them. That is quite like natural, isn't it? So we want to hear, whole day we are hearing, isn't it? But we hear from those who have more deeper realization, and we have that faith that this devotee has more realizations than me. That is very individual. Suppose I may have a faith that this devotee, Prabhuji, what is your name? Pavitra Nityananda Prabhu has more realization. But our Krishnangita Prabhu may not have that faith toward that Pavitra Nityananda Prabhu. Doesn't mean he doesn't have realization, but Krishna may not inspire him. So then he will not hear, but he will have realization or faith that our Prabhuji? So Madan Mohan Prabhu has more realization, so he'll hear from him. That's why we are not being initiated by the same spiritual masters. Not that they are less and more, but our faith is directed differently by Krishna to different devotees. We are individuals.
That is right, but this is when you are reading Bhagavad Gita, you are not reading from your own, because whatever Krishna is speaking, you are speaking the same thing.
Yes.
So if you think always that I am listening, that Krishna is speaking through all these devotees, whether they are.
Yes. I agree, Prabhu, but still we have to be practical. Suppose I give another example. I know this devotee makes nice sabji. He will give you prasadam, and also I know that you also make nice sabji. But I feel he is better, then I would like to go to his house and eat his sabji. We are taste seekers. We have to see here. We are taste seekers. We cannot deny this. Give the facility of taste and then expect the rule of the living entity to accept it. It's natural, sir. Somebody does nice kirtan, you want to go to that kirtan. If there are two kirtans, every day we have English and Hindi classes, and every day we choose which speaker we like. We don't compare who's more pure and not pure, but which speaker we like. So we cannot. Then we'll become a little impersonal. I may be wrong, but that's what I feel. Unless you have faith and you have taste from a person who's speaking the katha, we can be forced to sit. Then we'll just sit like this, and you say, when time will finish, like that. That will not really enter into our heart. So there has to be faith. There has to be faith that this person is superior and he has more deeper realizations which will benefit me. That's what I feel. And definitely we like to hear. We like to hear, surely.
Faith is very good, but the habit should be that we should.
There is not always a difference between what should be and what we are. So what I'm trying to say, if you don't want to hear some particular class, you can at least hear the recording of a person who inspires you in bhakti. Because the issue or the purpose of hearing is to develop deep faith, develop an inspiration to do bhakti. So I can't force people here to sit here in the class, isn't it? I'm not forcing people. Not that you're sitting here to that because you get sweet outside, that you'll get anyhow, isn't it? So that is the point. This is voluntary. It cannot be forced. Any other questions? We'll ask. Okay, devotees have this. Prabhu also has class. Yes. Rasa Sindhu Prabhu will give a bindu of question. Small. Yes. Three bindus. Okay. You can ask. Okay, but Mataji will ask, then you can ask. Yes. Yes.
Prabhuji, in the beginning of the lecture, you said something that is lingering in my mind. I would like to pass a comment on that. You said that karma and Brahmins, prevent people from chanting and all. What I feel is, instead of putting comments on any community or somebody, we should try to see the outside religions who are criticizing us very badly. They pass a lot of bad comments on Krishna because I'm always online and I can see a lot of stuff is there online. Very abusive stuff is there and all. So we should try to, defend ourselves, and same thing is we should try to have some strategies to counter them. Okay. Instead of
passing
comments,
I agree.
Who are there in our own sect, they are not doing any harm to us.
Let's first point. Karmakanda is not in Krishna consciousness. That has to be understood. And I'm sorry for passing this comment, but please analyze Narottam Das Thakur's comment. What is that? He says, karma kand, jnana kand, keval vishayar bhand. I didn't even criticize that much. Now, please first talk to Narottam Das Thakur and then talk to Shri Krishna Das.
So he says, happened long back.
No, long, not long back. No, Madhaji. No. Karma kand, jnana kand, keval vishayar bhand is a principle. It doesn't change by time.
Not so harmful for us.
What did I say? I said
karma kand is not that harmful for us. My point is like,
okay, hold on. First analyze, explain this statement. Karma kand, jnana kand, keval vishayar bhand. Bhand, you understand? A pot of poison. Yeah. So what you are saying is, a pot of poison is not so bad for me. Maybe not bad for you, but very much bad for me. I want to tell you why, what's the reason? And the same thing Krishna also says, Bhartsana. He says that Vedvadrataha Partha Nanya Dastiti Vadinaha. What is that? Before that, he says that Kamatmanaha Swarga Parha. Like that, he says, those people who are very much attached to this Karma Kandya section of the Vedas, their knowledge, their focus cannot be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So will you accuse Prabhupada of criticizing Karma Kanda?
That kind of people are found to be very less. Okay?
Krishna, very less or so much more? I will disagree on this. I will not accept this comment because that's not what Prabhupada has told. That's not what Krishna is telling. Krishna is, when I'm saying it is, why
my point is what? It's okay, today's conditions are totally different, maybe. Because, you can see the attacks by the other civilizations, very severe attacks on our religion.
Karma Kandya people also attack. If you preach to people, then you understand how much they attack on devotees of Krishna. They are not doing this ritual properly, they are not doing that ritual properly, and they are doing this and that. So Karma Kand,
I have not seen such examples.
Well, that is different thing. Different thing is
not online,
but offline.
Outside also in the society, I
have you conducted programs in programs in people's houses?
Not yet.
Then this story, like one time I was asking to a devotee, Prabhuji, I have not heard this example. Then you said, are you Brahma? Are you Brahma that you're supposed to know everything? I said, yes Prabhuji, I don't know anything. He was giving the example from and said, Prabhuji, I have never heard the example from Shastra. So if you have not heard, doesn't mean that it is not there in the Shastra. Are you Brahma? So I'm telling you from my own experience, what you will tell to a person. Suppose you tell, Prabhuji, I'm doing a program. So now, I am the Karma Kandya Brahmana. And this devotee is preaching, Prabhuji, please chant Hare Krishna. Don't chant Hare Krishna, this is not the time. Is it not harmful?
No, I have not seen such people.
So you have not seen, I was telling my experiences.
There are very rare examples, we should not generalize.
I have my own experiences, Mataji. So that
in today's time, I have not seen people having any Karma Kandya, doing any Karma Kandya. And all, very, very less. So we shouldn't pass comments on that.
Before,
instead, we should counter the real attacks which are happening.
See, the thing is, if you are basing your comment on your limited experience, that's a limited comment. So I will not accept that. Any other questions are there?
No, it's not limited. I have stayed in 5 to 6 states, 7 states. Of
but you have not preached to people who are. You have not preached to people.
But I am in the society.
Okay, so all the Karma Kandya.
Thousands of people. I interact with lots of people on social media. No?
Social media
I
and
not
direct.
Seen such things happening.
Will you see a person doing Karma Kanda on Facebook?
No, it's not like that. I said I am interacting.
Okay, you are right. If you want. If you want to hear that you are right, then you are correct.
No,
but
I
still, I'll just.
Like
you can ask the question. I will not accept that comment. Yes, next.
As you explained,
let him ask the question. Okay. That's not what the acharyas say like that. Okay, go ahead. Any other questions, comments? You have? Yes. Yes. This is open. The switch. Yeah.
So annoyed with me, now who are you body or are you then she said me, you mommy, these practical things are very difficult. You can reach, you can see me, but that time I was so much, I felt so much guilty that time when she said me, it now for you.
Why? Okay, that's a very good question. It's a very good question. You see, when we engage in activity which increase our bodily consciousness, that will increase our absorption that we are the body. You understood this point? Like eating, mating, sleeping, defending in without relationship to Krishna. Now when we act through the body, while being absorbed in the bodily conception only, but we act for Krishna, that will destroy our conception that we are the bodies. We don't create new activities. We just change the object of our activities. We still experience pain. When the body has some suffering, we will definitely take care of the body. But our absorption is through our consciousness in Krishna. Our acharyas give an example. Prabhupada gives the example. A person is sitting in a car. He is aware that the tire has sufficient air. He is aware that the oil is not getting boiled. All those things he is aware, which is in relationship with the car. And if there is, if somebody pinches, as the daughter has pinched the car, pinched the tire will get burst and he will take care of the tire. But the businessman who is sitting in the car is thinking about his business. So he is aware of the car, but he is more aware or more absorbed in the business for which he is in the car. Are you able to see the difference? Prabhupada explains this very beautifully in Bhagavad Gita, that even being, while being on the sensuous platform, that means we identify with the body and senses. So when I say, I am a servant of Krishna, then we imagine this body. Isn't it? But that's all right. Okay, you think I am a servant of Krishna, that means Shubh Krishna Das, who is, and then the form which I have now. But then offer it to Krishna. So your body, mind and words, we try to serve Krishna, and this will destroy the avidya within the heart. And one day we'll actually see that Praman is Srimad Bhagavatam. Narad Muni says, by the process of bhakti, as his heart got purified, he just realized one day, only out of ignorance, I was thinking that I'm this body. You understand my point? So we engage in the activities of the soul. Mataji, if you go to spiritual world, will you like to make some garlands for Krishna? Okay. Would you like to cook for Krishna? Would you like to sing for Krishna? Would you like to massage Krishna's feet? And what of these services you can't do here with this material body? All of them. So the services, the activities of the soul which we do in the spiritual world, we are practicing with this body in this world. Yes. Same example. Car. If the car is without diesel, will you say, I am not the car, I will not fit the diesel? No. That's why I'm saying it is difficult to understand bhakti, because it looks people are engaged in the same way. But the result is different. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you offer your activities to me, then all your previous bad and good karma will go away.
Suppose coming to temple.
You can use the mic or okay, yeah. Very good, very good example, Mataji, you are giving.
No,
you are not body conscious. I'll explain how you are not body conscious. A normal Mataji will look in the mirror and she will say, oh, how beautiful or ugly or whatever I am looking. And then she will put a bindi and she will put a sindoor and all the makeup. Why? Maybe to please the husband, if at all that is the consciousness. But a devotee Mataji, she will look at the mirror and she will take bath and get proper ready. And then put a nice tilak. Why? Because Krishna is pleased. This is very lot of difference. That's why I'm saying the process of bhakti is difficult for people to understand and appreciate. Easy to do, but difficult to understand. A devotee put nice dhoti kurta. Why? Because he's going to preach for Krishna. I was thinking to shave today. I didn't get the barber. But because when we, normally I don't care when we have, about my appearance. But when we preach, we do care. Because we are going to present Krishna. That's so the act of being more presentable remains same, but the object of being presentable is very different. That's why I'm saying it has to be appreciated. Although the child cannot immediately appreciate this point. Otherwise, what is the difference between eating and taking prasadam? Externally, nothing. But the effect is so much changed. Krishna says with every bite of prasadam, you are freed from millions and millions of sinful activities. Suppose you have committed sin, what should you do? Cook something for Krishna and eat nicely. You become freed from sin. So the activity remains same, but the object is changed, and that's and the consciousness also is changed. No, you have to. If you want to go somewhere, we cannot go by walk. We have to go by car. So we have to use this. What is that? Idam shariram khalu dharma sadhanam. This body is used for. This is the only means by which we do we can engage in devotional service as if right now. So it is not bodily consciousness. And rather, you see, as we keep on doing bhakti, our absorption in bodily activities will reduce, and our absorption in serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna will increase and increase and increase to the degree we forget about the bodies, as in the case of Goswamis. But we can't imitate that. Okay, last question is quite late. Yeah.
When we read this purport, there is the first paragraph. When a living entity conditioned by this material nature begins the cultivation of spiritual knowledge,
yes,
he elevates himself from the question from materialization to gradually resist Brahman concept.
Yes.
The same purport, second paragraph. Then you read, A living entity is above the three modes of material nature.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Material nature, but association with the material nature entangles him in different modes of material nature, goodness, portion. It is entirely different.
No, the same question. You are asking very deep questions now. You see, the same question was asked by Maitreya Vidura to Maitreya Muni. Asangami ayam purusha. The living entity is completely aloof from this material world. How it becomes entangled? So, two examples are given. One example is given of a dream. I have nothing to do with the dream which I am seeing. I may be lying on my bed very comfortably, but in the dream I feel, oh, somebody is killing me, somebody is killing me. So that is called abhinivesh, absorption. Being absorbed in this material body, we tend to identify with this material body. And how that happens? By the will of the Lord, by the maya shakti of the Lord, by the will of the Lord. Otherwise, not possible. It's interesting, we were discussing yesterday, Krishna was saying to Arjuna, Kutastavaha kashmalam idam, from where have you got these attachments and hrida dorbalyam? Krishna is telling to Arjuna. Arjuna says, I cannot fight. These are my relatives. I cannot fight. And he says, Kudastva, from where have you got? The answer is from you only. Now, Arjuna didn't answer like that. But Krishna himself put his devotee into illusion so that he can answer. He will be made as an instrument to make Bhagavad Gita revealed to people. So by Krishna's desire only this has happened. Because we want to forget Krishna, Krishna facilitates or empowers the Maya Shakti to bewilder us in this kind of absorption in material body. Yes?
The second question is, we discuss Narayana Parasarve.
Yes.
When we fully in Krishna consciousness, we see even the material will be consciousness of the environment.
All material situations are seen with indifference by a devotee who is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. They are the same. I can engage in Krishna's service in any situation. Not I means the pure devotee. I need so many things. But a pure devotee can be Krishna consciousness in any situation. Like Prabhupada was Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan, and he was also Krishna consciousness in the Bowery of America. So for him is all the same. That is how it is.
Ajaram
Pasham. Jara means budapa, means old age. Ajaram Pasham means this attachment to the body. So that pasha, that false ego, doesn't become old with old age. It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it becomes, it has to be cut. It has to be cut by the process of bhakti. That is the point. Okay.
Then one last question.
Okay,
there
last.
His
name is Rasa Sindhu, so he has ocean of questions. So he is giving. Okay, last question will take.
When
yes.
We read about the spiritual master.
Yes.
He has given two factors.
Yes.
One is by following money.
Yes.
The another one is.
Vapu. Yes. And ISKCON is Prabhupada's Vapu. That's quite easy, isn't it? Okay. Shall we stop here? Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.